Okay, we'll continue on with our Bible study on the power of praise. You know, I just can't even begin to tell you how important praise is to your prayer life. You know, there's a lot of people that pray a good prayer and then they go out into the world and they tear their seat up with the words of their mouth, or, you know, they don't watch over their prayer, or they don't praise to make their prayer strong. Praise is so important, and actually worship. And there's a difference between praise and worship. I know we lump those together all the time, praise and worship, but there's a definite, huge difference between praise and worship. Praise, we're singing God, you know, we're singing praises to God, and we've got our hands in the air, and we're praising God. Worship is a whole other thing. Now, there's a crazy, open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 7, and we'll start there today. But there's a crazy, sad teaching that gets thrown around. People mean well by it. They'll get ready to start the praise and worship service, and somebody will say, "Now examine your hearts for any sin before you praise God." And all of a sudden, you can see people's hands will drop. You can almost see their countenance change in their face. That's a terrible, cruel thing to do to somebody. And it's not biblical at all. In fact, I'm going to show you something about praise and worship in the Bible. And Jesus is the centerpiece. He was still alive on this earth. He was still here. He hadn't went to the cross yet. And somebody that wasn't even a Jew showed up. We'll start in chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed him with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave us most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now, this woman knew that she was a wreck. She knew her life was a mess. Some say she was even a prostitute. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what some say. But she went to Jesus and started worshiping him. What she was doing was worship. She wasn't praising, she wasn't singing, she was crying on her knees at his feet. That's worship. She poured her whole heart and soul out to him. She knew that her life was a wreck. She knew that she couldn't even be in the presence of the Pharisees. She knew she wasn't supposed to mingle with them. But she went to Jesus and she worshiped him and she walked away forgiven and saved. See, this is the thing. Religion will tell you to clean yourself up and get your life together and go to church. God says, go to church. I will clean your life up and get your life together. We don't stand a chance. Without God, we don't stand a chance. It's made a lot of religious people mad in the past because I've dealt with a lot of alcoholics. And I talked to them. Some of them say they want to go to church. And I said, well, why don't you? And they said, man, I just can't. And I said, why? And they said, well, because I'm going to drink. And I said, well, here's the deal. Why don't you have a couple toddies before you go to church? And they look at me like they can't believe I actually said what I said. Go have a couple toddies and then go to church so you don't start shaking, you don't get sick. That's about as unreligious as you can get now, isn't it? But here's the thing. These people need God more than anything. They need to hear the Word of God. They need to hear what God has to say. At least, even with the couple toddies, at least if they get there, they can start hearing the Word of God. And that can start changing them. You know, they can start sobering up. One of the most fascinating stories I ever heard, there was a jockey that rented a motel room and he was just drunk. He got so drunk he rolled off the bed and he rolled off and he was laying down below, there was a TV there right above him. And he said he woke up and there was some preacher preaching. And this guy gave a salvation message. He gave an altar call. And that jockey said, you know, this would be a good time. So he got born again, laying on the floor of that motel room, listening to that TV. Now here's the thing about the spoken word of God. It does not die. See, when you speak the Word of God, don't think that just because of a day or two or a week or two or a month has passed that it somehow dwindled and fell to naught. It didn't. It's still alive. That jockey, not only did he get born again right there, he went and got cleaned up and sober and started getting into the Word of God, started going to church. And then he ran into that guy that he was listening to on TV. And he told him about his experience. And they said, well, what day, what what day and time, what year was this? And they told him. The jockey told him when it happened. And they said, well, that was a rerun because they had preached that message some 10 years earlier. And he was listening to a rerun and he got born again to a rerun. The Word of God does not die. So don't give up just because you said a prayer and nothing happens in 30 minutes. Nothing happens in an hour. Some people get frustrated. I've been standing for 3 days. I've been fighting with this for 3 weeks and nothing's happened. Yes, it has happened. This is the thing about the word of faith. You believe, you receive it, and then you will see it. This is where your praise is going to come in. You're going to pray your prayer, and then you're going to watch over the words of your mouth that's watching over your prayer, and you're going to praise God for the answer. Well, I don't feel like praising. Remember we talked about the sacrifice of praise last Wednesday. You know, it's easy to praise God when you're on top of the mountain and everything is going your way and then things are really rolling, the sun's shining on your face. And, you know, you're just rolling. It's easy to praise God, isn't it? But what happens when it feels like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death? And it feels like you don't have any friends in the world. And the wind's blowing in your face. And it's sleeting. That's when we offer up the sacrifice of praise. See, it's not easy to praise God when things aren't going your way now, is it? But that's the most important time to praise God. Some of Israel's biggest victories happened when they praised God. You know, when they were facing impossible circumstances, impossible armies, impossible situations. And God would get them to get their praise and worship team together and start praising God. And guess what would happen? Miracles. Let's look at Psalms chapter 9. Well, I like that woman in that, what we just read in Luke, because it doesn't mention anything about her getting her life together. Her life was a total wreck. It doesn't mention anything about her asking God to forgive her before she got to Jesus. All she did was worship Him. And in fact, the religious mafia was there, and they judged her harshly. But not Jesus. Jesus knew more about her than they did. And all He did was save her. He saved her. He forgave her. She walked away a changed human being. There was more right with her when she left that room than there was with the Pharisees. They were drowning in their religion, and she was walking in liberty in Christ Jesus, walking in freedom. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. See, he did not say if we praise. He said when we praise. He's right there. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, he inhabits the praises of his people. He's right there. He's with us. In our praises, not whining and complaining. Whining and complaining is not going to do any good. Praising God will change the situation. Praising God will make things happen. Now, right there in that first verse that we read, I will praise thee, O Lord, with all my heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. See, in AA, one of the things they teach you to do is to write out a gratitude list. And see, that gets you your focus off the negative things and start finding things that God did for you. See, these are mile markers for Christians. You might call them altars. Look back at all the impossible situations that he's brought you out of. See, when you run into a tough spot and it looks like this is the end, look back on your life and see all of the tough spots that God brought you through. You'll realize all of a sudden that God has a 100% track record of bringing you through hard spots. Now start reminding him of all those good things that he did in bringing you out of tough spots. See, those are altars. Those are places that you worship God. You can go back to those and remember those and remember how God delivered you out of those. Remember how he delivered you out of a tough financial spot. Remember how he delivered you out of maybe a very bad illness. And go back there and remind him. Say, you're the God that delivered me from this financial mess. All of a sudden, you're praising God. But I'm not reading the Bible to him. No, you're telling him what he did for you. You're praising God. You're praising him. And you're also reminding yourself of the good things that God did for you. That'll pump you up. It'll help you get through your next battle. Now, let's go to Psalms 149, verse 1. Psalms 149. Verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever witnessed Jews praising God. I mean, some of these guys are dancing and they got these ribbons and they're just waving ribbons and their tambourines and they're shouting. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, these guys are all over the place. You'd almost think they're almost Pentecostal. But these guys are cool. They really get after it. And, you know, we get to America. We get kind of clammed up. The pride of our flesh gets in the way. You know, it's really, if we'd really let praise take its foothold, we'd and lose our inhibitions and do a little bouncing around, a little hopping around. Now, I've seen some people get crazy in the flesh, and that's not what we're after. You know, but there's really something about getting into praise and worship, getting your hands in the air, clapping, moving around. It relaxes you, gets your blood flowing. It helps. Helps the energy. Helps you. But you're praising God. And now let's look at verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Underline that. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hand. Right there, it's telling us to take that Bible even, and we can open up the Psalms, and we can read Psalms back to God. You're reading His Word to Him. You're returning His Word to Him. But also, it talked about that word glory. See, there's a false teaching out there that says God will not share His glory with any man. That is wrong. He will not share His praise with any man. But He wants His glory seen on the church. He wants His glory to be seen on you to the point where you shine. He wants His glory to be seen on you to the point where somebody says, what is wrong with you? You know, I had a guy ask me one time. I'd seen him looking at, he'd been watching me for a couple weeks. I'd seen him looking at, he's a mean looking little guy. And finally, he come over there and said, are you on heroin? I said, no, why? And he said, nobody can be happy like that without being on heroin. No, I'm clean. And he ended up getting born again. And we baptized him. It took two of us to baptize him. Because he told me his bed, he slept on blocks of cocaine. That was his bed. And he had snorted so much cocaine that he ate his little ducts, his whatever, his sinus cavities out of it. So one guy had to hold his ears. He had to hold his ears closed. Another guy had to hold his nose because water would just rush in. So we held his ears just right. He held his ears just right. Another guy held his nose and his head. We got him baptized. That's cool. But that guy watched me for a while. You know, you have watchers out there. There's people watching you all the time. You don't know it, but they're watching you. And it was the craziest thing I ever heard. This guy said, I was trying to figure stuff out, and he said, you should preach the gospel every day, and if you have to, use words. And I thought, this guy lost it. You know, and I didn't know. I don't know how you could possibly do that. And a couple of years later, my pastor called me. I was down in Texas, and my pastor called me, and he said, do you know so-and-so? And I said, kind of, I guess. I heard that name. Well, he said they showed up at church, and they said they came up to him and said, we knew Skeet before Jesus, and we knew Skeet after Jesus. Whatever you did to him, do that to us. I don't really remember anything about ever talking to him. I vaguely remembered the name. So evidently what that man said really can happen. But he wants his glory to be seen on you. Look at John chapter 9, verse 24. One thing about practicing the presence of God and being in the presence of God, and you know, and spending time in His Word and getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's something about coming up with new songs. Have you ever made up a new song? It might be just some weird little song. You just start singing some kind of weird little song. You're praising God. See, See, I never had a musical note in my body till I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My friend, he was a pastor, and he had come out of the Pentecostal church, and he was an Assembly of God pastor. And I told him, I said, I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, yeah, you do. So he prayed for me and everything, and he said, what do you feel? I said, man, I felt like a knot on a log. He said, say something. I said, I don't know what to say. So I went to my pastor, and I told him what happened. He said, did you do it by faith? I said, yeah. He said, well, go ask the Holy Spirit what to do with that. So I was out there riding a horse, and asked the Holy Spirit, said, I don't know what any of this is about, but you tell me what to do. And I started singing songs. It was pretty neat. And then I started picking up on a prayer language, and then it got a lot funner. But see, there's a lot to be said about praising God. He can do a lot with that. When we praise Him, He can do a lot with it. He gets our enemies out of the way. It'll get our inhibitions knocked down. It'll help with your prayer language. John chapter 9, verse 24 says, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. See, the religious people will criticize you when you step out in faith. You know, sometimes it just kind of, it's sad. Well, we've seen a lot of really cool things happen in this church. People that we prayed for get miraculously healed, set free, and that's cool. And we give God the praise for that. But there've been times I would mention that to somebody, and they say, you didn't do that, and I said, I didn't say I did it. Jesus did that. And they just get it completely mixed up and out of context. And I said, I didn't say I was the healer. Jesus is the healer. We did pray for this man and he got healed. Yeah, but you didn't do it. I didn't say I did it. Jesus is the only one that can heal. Jesus is the only healer. But don't let the religious people get you down. But here's something Pete can testify to this. Lost and hurting people will not criticize you. When they see something happen, they're going to ask questions, right? They're going to want to know what happened. I remember Pete called me and said, hey, we got some questions. Can you come down here? And I said, yeah. So go down there. Months later, said, we got some more questions. Okay. Go down there. One day, Pete asked me if he could go to church here. And I said, well, yes, of course. So he showed up. And I got a job for you if you want it. He's not born again. Did you know when he started working back there? He was not born again, and he was doing it for free. See, I didn't tell him to go get his life together and start living right and then come to church. So I come to church. Let God take care of the rest of that, and he did. Now look what we got. We got a board member. See, that's cool. Only God can do that. Not man, only God. No amount of religious arguments can do it. Only Jesus. When we show Jesus to people, He changes things. See, God inhabits our praise, and our enemies fall back. One thing we need to do is lose our inhibitions through praise. You know, David, when they brought the ark back to Jerusalem, he got so carried away, he just threw his clothes away and he danced down the street naked. I'm not saying do anything like that. But I would, if you're like me, I had to go out in the country in the dark where nobody could see me. And then I'd get my hands in there and I could start praising God and shouting hallelujah. But hey, it's a start, you know. And then pretty soon I could get into church and I could raise my hand and I could praise God. Shout hallelujah. We clap our hands. You know how cool God is? He told us to clap our hands when we're praising. You know something about our hands? We have a whole bunch of nerve endings in our hands. And when we clap them together, it invigorates those nerve endings and gives us energy. It's actually pumping life into our body. How cool is God? He told us to do that for Him, and it's actually good for us. Amen? See, He created us. He knows every little thing about us. And He knows how every little part works. There's no man ever that has ever been able to figure out the human body the way God has. There's no scientist that is ever going to figure out exactly how man works. But God knows. And He put these little things here and there in the Bible telling us how we can help ourselves by praising and worshiping Him. Not only is it going to help us get answers to our prayers, it's going to help heal our bodies. Amen. And there's also something about the Word of God and praise and worship, and we get these certain tones and vibrations going into our atmosphere. These are healing tones, and they get into our bodies. Get into an atmosphere of praise and worship. How many of you feel better after you've been in a really good praise and worship session? See, there's something about that getting into our bodies. And, you know, in the olden days, they used to play organs. And then all of a sudden, they didn't have organs no more. They went to pianos. Did you know organs have a specific vibration? That's a healing vibration that goes into your bodies. That's why they made a point to get rid of organs. The bells have changed, but bells have set off tones, vibrations. The Word of God is a vibration. When we speak the Word of God, that's a vibration. It's a tone that we speak into our atmosphere. And it's going to have an effect on your body. It'll have an effect on your mind, on your spirit, and the atmosphere around you. Many of you walk into a table full of people that are negative, and it's just kind of a drain. And you kind of want to get back. Then you walk into a table full of believers and you want to be there. You know, when I was in the oil field, I would go drink coffee with this bunch of guys and they were cool. And I wanted to be around them and I didn't say anything about anything. I just drink coffee with them. And finally, one day, I had one of them identified and I thought, I think I can really talk to this guy. So anyway, everybody else left, and I got this guy by himself, and I said, "You're Church of Christ, aren't you?" And he said, "Yeah, I am." And I said, but you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, haven't you? And he said, yeah, I have. And so there was a whole bunch of those guys that went to the same church, you know, this Church of Christ pastor at the golf course road, Church of Christ in Midland, got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was just rolling in that place. Had a live band up there. They were playing instruments in the Church of Christ. And he was having a rocking good time. These guys were loving it. It was a good thing. See, the Holy Spirit keeps bringing the church forward. He keeps bringing people forward. They keep getting more and more revelation of who Jesus is. And he keeps bringing them forward. I just hope the Word of Faith people don't get left in the dust. Because they know everything. You see, we want to keep going forward. You know, we got a lot more to learn. We'll learn a lot more about praise and worship, I'm sure. Here, I think within a year, we're going to learn a lot about a lot of stuff. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for our risen Lord. We're about ready to celebrate his resurrection. And Father, I want us to be focused on the resurrection, on the passion, on the crucifixion, everything Jesus did for us. That special day when Jesus came back to life. And Father, I want people to stop looking at the Easter eggs and the bunny rabbits and start looking at Jesus and his salvation and everything that it meant. And be like Paul, that we would know the power of his resurrection. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.